AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Fans have mixed emotions after the U.S. got defeated in the knockout round of the World Cup. Disappointed that the team didn't go farther this time around, but still positive about how they played.
It was an incredible game. I obviously wish the U.S. had won, but I think they did very well for being a young team, just getting back into, you know, the World Cup this year, and I look forward to watching them in the future.
Round of 16 continues. The match between France and Poland just started. They're getting ready to vote in Georgia. Tuesday is the state Senate runoff election. Vernon Jones is a former Democratic lawmaker and now a Republican. He says Herschel Walker would have easily defeated Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock if he had done just one thing.
One of the biggest blunders is that Herschel's campaign did not put into place an apparatus to go directly for the black vote.
Tomorrow, the Supreme Court will hear a controversial case about a Colorado business owner who won't do work for same-sex weddings. But the state's attorney general, Phil Weiser, says it is much bigger than that.
This is not only about equal rights based on sexual orientation or gender identity. This is about equal rights based on religion, ethnicity, or race.
Another mass layoff. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Tupelo, Mississippi-based United Furniture Industries laid off 2,700 workers at plants in Mississippi and North Carolina without notice 2 days before Thanksgiving. Workers found out by overnight text messages and emails. Lawyer Casey Lott is representing several of the fired employees.
We were really shocked by how mismanaged this layoff was.
Lott has sued the company for violating a federal law that requires employers to give at least 60 days notice of a mass layoff.
Mother Nature is not playing nice with snow, rain, and high winds out west. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with the latest.
A severe weather system drenched San Francisco and blanketed roads in Washington. The storm snarled air travel in Seattle, where some 60 flights were canceled and hundreds more delayed, adding to days of travel troubles. In the Sierra Nevada, a second round could dump feet of snow by Monday.
That storm system also heading to the east. Lava from the Mauna Loa volcano is spewing on Hawaii's Big Island. Volcano videographer Mick Halber describes it this way.
It's this combination of ugly, beautiful, devastating, creative. It's kind of a microcosm of life itself.
The lava is threatening a main highway that's the quickest route connecting two sides of the island. This volcano last erupted 38 years ago. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Clear skies this afternoon with highs around 34. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, chance for snow. Highs level off around 34. About an inch of snow tomorrow.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic.
Currently, it's 20.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten,
well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is our final hour of the week. It is Friday. I'm ready for the weekend. Thank you for listening across the Civic Media Network, Waukesha, Wausau, Amory, Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison tonight. Join the conversation. You are always welcome, 844-967-2789, to round out this week and today. Good friend of the show, back for the third time, comedian Laura Lyons is here because she has been in NPR, she's been in the Daily Beast, she's written things that have been published before, but you recently, I think right before I left for my vacation, I saw that you had a new article in the Daily Beast. We didn't get to get you on before I left town, so now here you are to sit to talk about the eight things you should never say to someone with long COVID.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you for having me back.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm lots of doctor's appointments that were up and down, but we're just going with the flow.
How's the weather in Worcester right now?
I love how you say Worcester.
How are you supposed to say it? Worcester?
Worcester. Oh, it's like Worcestershire sauce, kind of.
Why is there two O's then?
Well, I know.
There's a O. I thought it was W-O-O.
I think that's like Ohio.
Oh, all right. Clearly a Midwest girl.
Yeah, we love a Midwest girl. So yeah, it's been good. It's not been bad, which we love.
So as a reminder, before we get into your advice, remind the audience who may have not heard you on the show before, your COVID experience.
Yes, my COVID experience has been going on for 2.5 years. It started on March 24th, 2020. I was admitted to the hospital. They told me, my parents, I had 6 hours to live. They put me in a coma. They med helicoptered me to Boston, and I was put on ECMO, which is the last form of life support someone can be on, as well as a ventilator, feeding tube, and trach. And I was there for months. Overall, I was in the hospital for over 5 months, so for half a year. I was paralyzed, voiceless. I had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, sleep, all of it. And for the past 2.5 years, it's just been this journey. I'm still on oxygen and primarily in a wheelchair because of my lung scarring. So, we're taking every day with a happiness and a grain of salt at the same time.
Absolutely. So with that, what are some of the things that you shouldn't say to someone struggling with long COVID?
Yeah. So I was inspired from this article because there are some well-intentioned people, and then there's some people that are really out of pocket. And it took me a while to write this article because I was just accumulating things that people were saying that either sounded really passive, that wasn't helpful, or some were just kind of mean, some were misogynistic. You know, it's a plethora of things that you hear when you're chronically ill, especially in a political climate that has politicized this disease. You're kind of used as a puppet in a lot of ways. It's really bizarre. So I decided I'm going to take these annoyances and write an article about it. So essentially, it goes from the passive to the agitating ones all over. First one is just think positively, which I say in the article, basically, I want to invest in Wayfair because the amount of pillows I have to scream into would increase their stock prices. Because you just, if someone tells you to just think positively, it's like, do you want to trade wearing a diaper at the age of 33 and throwing up with fractured ribs? I don't think so. So, you know, I'm a positive person, but if I have to say I'm really tired because I had a 14-hour coughing fit, it's like, let me say that and not kind of shut it down with a think positively thing. Mm-hmm. Another one is, you know, you look so happy on social media. All of us show the highlight reels of social media, right? But when you're chronically ill, you're only showing the good parts primarily. And I'm a repressed New Englander who's half Irish. So like, I'm going to be as repressed as possible. So I'm not going to be like crying on, I mean, maybe I should, so people actually know how horrible it is. But yeah, it's tough when you have to keep up with the digital Joneses, mm-hmm. especially when you're a comedian and you're so tired and you have chronic fatigue and you're on steroids, you're off steroids, your sleep is out of control. So yeah, I think it's that kind of what you see isn't the reality, especially with someone who has long COVID. And then the next one is manifest being healthy, which
feels a lot like think positively.
It does. It's this kind of new wave of the wellness industry that's like very, if you can think it, you can do it. And it's like, yeah, but racism, homophobia, and misogyny exist. Like, I can't just think positively and racism goes away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, there's this kind of, ooh, you have bad energy. Let me push you away and negate what you're saying type of movement. and I actually talked to a Buddhist chaplain about this. A Buddhist chaplain.
What is a Buddhist chaplain?
She's Buddhist, but she goes to hospitals and aftercare outpatient groups. And I got to talk to her and I was like, I'm really struggling with people saying, you know, the manifest and the positivity. And I want to get your input because mm-hmm. it all kind of started this westernized version of Buddhism, you know, and yoga and all this stuff. And I was like, I really want to get your view on this. And she said, toxic positivity is like swallowing poison. It's horrible for you. And she said, you have to admit if you're having a bad day or if you need more support or you need to be vocal and it's actually not good for you, which I thought was very interesting. And it kind of leads me into the next one of you should do apple cider vinegar shots every morning.
Which that for any person is not proven to be like the thing to do. Because I've looked it up and it's not, I don't know if there's a ton of science behind any health benefits of that. Let alone for your situation.
Right. Like, I don't know if there's lobbyists trying to push apple cider vinegar or something because, honey, the amount of recos of apple cider vinegar, or I should say ACV for short. It's really wild because it's like, I can take vitamin D every day, which I do. And yet my lungs are still scarred. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, there's these suggestions, which as someone who, you know, is going to MGH in Boston that has some of the best doctors. Like, we're getting that information. So we don't really need kind of the have you tried vitamin D yet type of thing, you know? And it just goes back of this new wellness industry. I mean, in the US, it's worth over $50 billion on its own. So I kind of say now that the wellness industry is for already able-bodied, mentally healthy people, it really doesn't help disabled people and people have real depression, anxiety, and all this stuff. It's kind of just this Pleasantville utopian band-aid on really what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? So those type of things like are not helpful. And then you deal with then the extreme, really, you know, anti-vaxxers and COVID is a hoax. And it does get laborious after a while of people fighting in my comments on, you know, say TikTok or social media saying, I had this one person say I was a sheep because I got COVID.
You're a sheep for getting COVID.
I was a sheep for getting COVID. And then someone said, prove to me that you're sick now because of COVID and not the vaccine. Now, I got COVID in March 2020 when the vaccine did not exist. So it's a little infuriating. And then I get people asking me if I'm dating. Now, this is one of the funniest things because, as I mentioned before, I'm in a diaper. I don't think this will lead to anything. I don't want to kink shame anyone. You do you, boo. But that's not my bag. You know what I mean? I'm not really into it. And I basically was not a volunteer in this. You know what I mean? So there's that. And then, you know, then there's the just breathe. People who are like, just take sips, just take breaths. And I'm like, I'm on oxygen 24/7. Like, yeah, I know about breathing. And it's kind of a luxury, you know, you kind of take advantage of every breath we all take. And I'm so now aware of it, of every single breath that I take now.
I'm going to cut you off before you do the last one, because I want to talk. I feel like there's a bigger conversation around this last one, because so much of what your advice, and it's very funny when you read the article, because you are a comedian, Laura Lyons. But it is, I think, like you said, it's not just long COVID. It's anyone dealing with a disability or a chronic illness or this. When you try to talk to someone who is, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes of what they're going through, trying to guide them as far as what is not helpful. And so I think it is well worth the read. So if you want to look up on the Daily Beast, Laura Lyons, the 8 things you should never say to someone who has who's with long COVID, you can look that up. She's going to be here until 12:45 though. And so you can stay tuned to As Goes Wisconsin to hear more of Laura Lyons.
Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on, don't give up.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
First things happen to see, you know.
Always look on the right side.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's some.
Pride.
Left corner, 3 on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy, cause when you're worried.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Laura Lyons, who is a comedian, and we're talking about her newest article in the Daily Beast, 8 Things You Should Never Say to Someone Living with Long COVID. But a lot of these pieces of advice can be applied in many different scenarios as far as someone dealing with chronic illness or a disability or someone who is grieving. And so I wanted to hold off on you talking about your number 8 out of 8 piece of advice. And so what is that one?
Exactly. It's something that if you have a loved one that's passed away, if someone is in a car accident that's injured, someone that's sick, the passive kind of comment, which usually is well-intended, is the, let me know if there's anything I can do. 9 times out of 10, that person is not going to let you know that there's anything that they need, because they don't want to be a burden on a lot of people, especially if it's a friend of a friend or, you know, a family member's coworker or something like that. Like, you're never going to ask out of your kind of core group of supporters that you need help. So rather than that, I absolutely recommend doing more active things like sending notes, little gifts. Food is a really big one, especially if someone's chronically ill or grieving. It's an energy thing, right? Like, if someone's really sad that someone's passed away, they're not going to have the effort to make a home-cooked meal. And it's the same if you're chronically ill. It takes a lot of energy to cook. For example, for me, my lung capacity isn't good. So standing up takes a while and it's a lot of effort. So to get something out of the refrigerator is a huge deal for me. And coming back, I'll have a coughing fit, all of that. So the food one is actually a really big thing. And if you're not in the area where you can just drop off food at their door, there's so many great shipping options now for great food. Like, if someone misses New York bagels, there's Zabar's that delivers all over the country.
And
you know what I mean? Oh my God. No, but they're so good, but no. But yeah, so, or like chocolate that they miss from something or something special between the both of you. memories is really good because that person is probably also grieving a lot of fear of missing out because mm-hmm. they're chronically ill or they're so sad that they can't participate in activities. So they're kind of by the sidelines. So if you send these gifts that have a lot of meaning or just are really thoughtful, it feels like, okay, I'm still a part of this person's life, even though I physically can't be there. So I recommend a lot of like great memories, food, comfort, and to be like, I'm thinking of you. And those things are so helpful.
And it's so interesting because I remember more specifically in the time of someone grieving, of it is such an easy thing to say of like, let me know if there's anything yeah. I can help. Cause I think people genuinely mean it, but like you said, it's like, that's still putting the burden on the person who is sick or grieving or that you were trying to help, but it's putting them in the position to tell you what they need help with versus saying, can I drive you somewhere? Can I get you food? Can like being more specific of how you can help. And so do you think it's better just not to say anything instead of saying that or asking?
It's actually really frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious.
To be honest, because it's almost like, you know, when someone, you're at a dinner party at a house and someone's like, oh, do you need any help? And they have no intention of actually helping you. It's like, that's kind of worse because it's like, you're not going to do anything. So why are you even volunteering just so you can seem kind of this like, volunteering hero, but you actually aren't going to do anything. It's almost like a weird virtue signaling, you know? So I would say if you want to actually be there for someone, be there for them in whatever it is, gifts, notes, it doesn't have to be expensive. It can just be a great note or a text or a funny email or like book recommendations or TV recommendations, just to show that you're thinking of them. That is so much more helpful. I think the empty gestures and the platitudes get really exhausting mm-hmm. after a while. And they do become burdensome. So I think either help or don't, I think is kind of my biggest advice, you know?
Laura, the next time someone tells you to manifest health, I want you to get their phone number for me so I can call them and we can have a little chat.
I love you so much. Like, you do not mess around. And that is why you're one of my favorite people in this world, because it really is. And in the article I write, like, do you think I really manifested me being in a wheelchair? Like, do you think on my vision board, I had a concentrator that pumps oxygen into my nose? I didn't think so. I wasn't on Pinterest pinning oxygen tanks and transport chairs and cushions for my tushy for the transport chair because it's really hurt. It hurts a lot. You know what I mean? So I think, 5-year plans, they don't exist as well. I have talked to many therapists and spiritual leaders and all this stuff. And they're like, it's just a way for you to feel like you have control, but we don't have control whatsoever.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to keep you through the break. When we come back, we're going to move on and have a bigger conversation around why women aren't funny. The role of humor in our moral virtues. And so stick with us. Laura Lyons will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy, don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed
impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning,
access to technology and school supplies,
and even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies this afternoon with highs around 34. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, chance for snow. Highs level off around 34. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicki. Currently, it's 20.
We want to be in charge of stuff, and we want to get paid the same. And then there's other feminists that are like, we want to free the nipple on Instagram. It's like, hey, can we focus? I know she's more fun, but can we focus? It's like if during the Revolutionary War, if some soldiers were like, we want to be independent. And then other soldiers were like, we want to free the nipple on Instagram. You'd be like, yeah, maybe England should stay in charge of you. You sound like you'd be fairly irresponsible. It's just hard for me to even believe that that was a woman's idea. Sounds sounds like a man infiltrated a meeting and he was like, we gotta get these nipples on Instagram. Did you hear we can't? It's not fair for the women. You know me, my main concern is the women. Some feminists that are like, we want to be in charge.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. Hello, Waukesha, Wausau, Amory, Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison tonight. On the app, on the podcast. We are rounding out this week. Today's Friday, last half hour of the show. And my friend of the show, Laura Lyons, comedian, is here. And we found these, I have never heard of this. It's a digital magazine called Psyche. And they have two different articles that I felt like there was no one I wanted to talk about it more than with you, having you on. And so one, I think, is very obvious. Well, both are obvious compared on, but one is how humor is a moral virtue, even in dark times. And the other is a historical, the historical accuracy of why women aren't funny. And so where should we start, Laura Lyons?
I feel like we should start with the sense of humor. Even a dark sense of humor is a good virtue to have.
Because
I think it's interesting what this article talks about.
I totally agree. So it's in Psyche magazine, a sense of humor, even a dark one, is a moral virtue. And it was written by Mark Alfano, who's an associate professor of philosophy, and Mandy Estola, who's a lecturer of philosophy at Delft University. And a lot of the examples they give in the article is talking about the humor that we've seen play out in the Ukraine-Russian war. And like how humor is used against power, but also used, it's like you can't laugh. What else can you do? And I feel like when I was reading this article, it reminded me of, did you watch Dairy Girls?
I just finished it this morning.
So good. I haven't seen the most recent season of it, but this is a show where it's a fictional show that's produced right now. But the context is early 90s Ireland. So during the dark times of the Civil War that was happening, where randomly, like, the resistance would be bombing bridges and you would have to go around. But, like, that is, like, the backdrop of the show. The main plot of the show, these high school girls who are ridiculous. And if you watch it, I highly recommend putting on the subtitles because it is a very thick Irish accent. But I remember,
Northern Irish, too.
But I remember listening to a interview with the creator of the show, showrunner of the show, who this is based off her life. And she said, I just remember the women of that time being so funny. Cause that's a survival tactic as well.
Absolutely. I think sometimes the funniest people have to survive. I mean, that's a huge trope, but I do think it's true in a lot of ways. And it's the only way to heal and to cope and to get through something. And those examples of the Ukraine-Russian war, I mean, we all have heard about the Ukrainian grandmother giving the sunflower seeds mm-hmm. to the Russian soldier saying there, when your corpse is in the ground, there'll be flowers that come from it. And I think it's really important, especially dark humor. And it's so funny, the Dairy Girls, I was watching it this morning, I finished season 3, and I thought the same thing of, these girls in high school just wanted to live regular lives. They couldn't, but they still had incredible wit to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that wit becomes really complex, which is more interesting and sarcastic and deadpan. And there's so many levels to it that I think is really important. And the article basically talks about it being a moral virtue, which I never really thought about before.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, and that was so fascinating because they said it goes back to ancient Greece when Aristotle had this phrase called the golden mean, which basically meant good traits are in between bad examples. Like courage is good because it's in between cowardness and having no fear at all. And that is a way to temper your emotions. So you kind of go into the world with people being authentic and they authentically respecting you. And humor is a great healing tool and also a way to make your emotions, if they're going up or down, you can use humor to kind of neutralize them. And I never thought of it that way. And I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, it's like me, even when we were talking about when people say, think positively and I have to scream into a pillow, it's like that neutralizes it and it makes it a joke versus having anger or sadness, those kind of extreme emotions. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really interesting how in dire conditions that like aren't conducive to being happy, you still can use this quote unquote moral virtue to have respect and to live in kind of a happy condition, even though everything around you isn't good.
Well, and one of the other points they make there is how what our sense of humor is and what we find funny is also a signal of what our values are. And so sometimes it is used as a tool to vet out who aligns with our values. Cause if you make a joke and they don't laugh at it, it's like, well, maybe I don't like you that much anyways. and I felt like that was a bridge to the other article, the say in also in Psyche, which is the history of women not being funny, and an actual historian trying to mark how did this trope or this stereotype happen. And it's two women, I think three women, who fancy ourselves as funny people. I also wonder how much it is true of, well, there's just certain men who don't find us funny because the things we find funny as women and women who tell jokes. So go, well, maybe you just don't get it, dude.
Yeah. And it's the, it is really interesting because, you know, 10 years ago, we kind of accepted male humor as the only thing, and it was king and that was it. And we were going to hear the difference between men and women and how much they hated their wives and their girlfriends. And we just took it. And it's funny the evolution of humor, especially in that article. But yeah, it's they're not the authority on what's funny. And I think that has shifted so much, even in the past 10 years, of like, it's okay for them not to laugh because that doesn't mean you're not funny.
Yeah.
Which I think is a huge thing that's changed over the past decade for sure.
We're talking to Laura Lyons, who is a comedian based out of Worcester,
based
out of the East Coast, about two different articles that we found in psyche.co, which is where you can find it. And this one is just, when in history did men decide that women are not funny? And it was interesting because one of the things they point out is that as things become either profitable or a sign of respect, because one of the things that they said that women used to do, which I did not know, that in medieval times, the brewmasters were women. That like brewing beer was a woman's role until that shifted. And it becomes, well, only men do this. And I think that is another male dominated, as I have friends who work in the beer industry. Like it is, it's a very male dominated thing. And so like, tell me, it happened, but kind of around Freud, right? Is that what you picked out of the article?
Yes, that before then, women and humor was suppressed and oppressed in a different light, but it was never that women aren't funny. It was women have to be demure and not laugh because that means that, you know, they're not pure or Christian, like all of that. But then in the 20th century, Freud basically said, you know, women aren't funny because they are less complex psychic development, quote, that he said. And it's the castration fear of the superego. Like, then it became kind of this like, oh, women actually don't have it in their body to be funny. Which I find, it's so interesting because I've heard growing up women aren't funny. I mean, I still hear it like on TikTok and all of that. And, but it's interesting that it stems from that, because beforehand, even during like the witch trials, it was never a tick on the list of why a woman should be tried in a trial of, oh, she's too funny. You know? And so it kind of revolution. I mean, it basically stems from money and misogyny of what you're saying of basically after the 17th century, like during the 18th century, it was kind of commodifying with humor on stage and it was bringing audiences. But because delivering jokes is kind of this like aggressive, assertive, confident thing, they didn't want women to be on stage because of that. So then in the 19th century, when it became really profitable, they pushed women to the side. So it just kind of kept pushing the stereotype of a woman not being funny, but it was just because they could make money off of it. So they steered women away from it.
Laura, I am going to laugh about Freud's women aren't complex enough to be funny, but men are.
Truly. Truly. I was saying earlier, I had a TikTok that was just really, it was dark humor, really sarcastic about, you know, my doctors being like, yeah, we don't know how long you're going to live for. And the men in the comments were like, did not get it. They didn't comprehend it. They tried to like mansplain things to me. And I'm like, buddy, this is dark humor. I don't know what to tell you, like all this stuff. So it's fascinating. Freud is, you know, a little devil over there.
Little devil.
A little devil.
But it is interesting because I feel like in that article, they reference only 10-ish years ago. What was it in Vanity Fair that someone, they literally published an entire article about trying to make an evolutionary argument of why men are funnier than women because of they need to like woo in the
main
cycle of human existence that men had to woo women with their wit and all we had to be was fertile. And it's like, who signed off on this? And that wasn't even that long ago that they published
it. It was in Vanity Fair.
Yes, I know.
And I tell you what, they think they're hilarious.
Hilarious.
Almost every man thinks he's hilarious.
Lord, I know you were, when we were friends in New York, you were doing more sketch and improv and stuff. Did you ever do stand-up?
I opened with a dead friend joke and it was crickets.
So, do you still remember the joke? Speaking of dark humor.
Yeah, it was.
Is it okay for radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we say like murder on radio?
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, my friend was running in broad daylight and was burned alive and murdered. And my friend told me, and I said, yet another reason not to run.
Jay liked it. Oh my God. That is pretty dark. That is a pretty dark
Dark
joke.
Dark Tina. And when I tell you the room went silent, it wasn't white noise. It wasn't crickets. It was outer space silence. That dust, you could hear dust. It was that quiet. And I had to just, I don't know, recover and talk about, I talked about Bravo for the rest of the 10 minutes. Cause I was like, I don't know where to go from here.
Andy Cohen. Okay.
Yeah. Let's keep it light, I guess. People.
All right. Well, friend, so fun to have you on the show. We'll probably have you back on in the new year. I hope you stay healthy and happy and just stay positive, Laura Lyons.
I'm going to stay positive and take vitamin D.
All right. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, friend.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick around. Mama, the mother of Christmas, Debbie Bry, ends the show with us this week. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Say, it's so easy to do. Just let yourself be ignorant to what's been done to you. Save the rich by doing nothing.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season.
And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It's Christmas vacation. And when the nights are peaceful and serene.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and special guest in studio to round out my first week back after vacation in studio, sitting across from me, the mother of Christmas, my mother, Debbie Bry. How you doing, Mom?
I'm good. I'm the mother of Christmas and the mother of Kristen.
There you go. It was a big family show. Dad was on earlier. He had to call in. But how do you feel about women being funny?
I do think we are funny, and I think it helps us get through a lot of tough stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Dad's probably listening, but I would say, I think my sense of humor comes a little bit, he's more sarcastic.
Yeah.
But you're goofier.
Yeah,
I think exactly. I get my goofiness from you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Considering yesterday, as the mother of Christmas, you were in town and you took it upon yourself to Christmas-fy our house. And it looks excellent. And I walked
Thank
in.
You.
So I worked until like 6. I hadn't been home all day. Mama Bri had been in the house taking what Christmas decorations we had and perfecting them across our new home. And I walked in and she was wearing a Santa hat. And she said, Alexa, play the Hallelujah Chorus by Neil Diamond. And so I walked into the house. That song was blaring. And the house, she was just like dancing and singing to the song and showing off of her work and everything she had done that day. And it was perfection, Mother.
Thank you. Well, only because that's our song, isn't it?
That is our song.
It's our song.
It's also the song I played after the end of my ceremony. I surprised Mike with because people now, after they kiss the bride, play, the Star Wars theme or whatever they want. And so he didn't care. He's like, I don't care what you play. So I surprised everyone. And that was my play at the end of the ceremony. So did you say we have a text about women being funny?
About women being funny. Yeah. But he had texted earlier when we were talking to the professor from Marquette about Les Miserables and the history of that. And he said, am I a terrible person if I don't like that musical? I love musical theater and I can't stand Les Mis. And I said, no, you're fine as long as you like Spamalot. If you didn't like Spamalot, then we're going to have some issues. But then he also said, I've never heard or thought about women not being funny.
Huh.
I'm a male in my mid-40s. I grew up with Carol Burnett, all of the women on SNL. It's never crossed my mind. Sorry, it is a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is, it's such a funny thing that that's still this stereotype when you think of the women throughout, specifically the 20th and now obviously the 21st century, but like Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett.
Phyllis Diller, Mary Tyler Moore, Valerie Harper. I mean, I can list off a whole, Joan Rivers.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think it's debunked and it's just people who don't get the joke that still think that women aren't funny. But at least while you're here, Mom, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday as far as the best Christmas things to do across Wisconsin. But what would you say some of your favorite Christmas, either things you've done or things you look forward to every year?
Well, I love to ride around, look at the lights, and I always appreciate when people put all that effort into decorating. I was trying to think of the places in Wisconsin Rapids that would be good to mention, and I could not give any addresses because I didn't know the addresses. But, you know, there's a lot of people who take a ton of time. There's one person in our town that you go by and that you can sit out in front, and it's hooked up to the radio, and you can listen in your car. And so that's a lot of effort to mm-hmm. make other people feel happy and joyful. So I think I love that. Because, you know, I like to decorate. So I do decorate for holidays, for Christmas and big time for Halloween, right?
Yes, big time for Halloween.
Christmas is a little bit more traditional for me, so I don't do lots and lots of lights. But I do love lights. I do like when we can go someplace and hear Christmas music. I like to eat.
Where do you think your love of Christmas, truly, I mean, I think good friend Colleen Marion growing up, she always used to describe our house at Christmas like Santa threw up on it, and which is a compliment, but we have lots of Santa, you know, you go so hard for decorating for Christmas. Like, where do you feel like that came from as far as really putting so much effort into leaning into the holiday?
Well, I think we grew up always really enjoying the holiday, all the holidays, but Christmas was real special because all the family would come to our house and we would be packed in because we had a little house. My mom made it really fun and with lots of traditions and things, but I think it was that as the beginning, and then, you know, I like to collect stuff, so I started collecting. My mom gave me my first Santa Claus. And I started a collection that now is quite big, not as big as many, but mine is nice.
Who has a bigger Santa Claus collection? Who's a private, not like...
Oh, no, there's people out there with thousands.
Yeah, that you've seen?
No, I've seen on TV and stuff like that. No, I haven't seen him. But there's people that collect all different things. And I am kind of a collector, which now I guess is kind of a big mistake because I've been told my children don't want any of it. So
That's not true. You passed on...
A couple things, but
look at the things
what
you
I've
just
been
set
told
up in the
is,
house.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think we bought any of that. That's all gifted by you.
Well, it's the kind of person that I am, honey.
See, you're funny.
But I don't know. It just has always been there. You know, I grew up and my dad owned a small store and I worked in there and I did the decorating in there. And maybe that's where it started. I kind of had free reign to do what I wanted in there. And I've always enjoyed decorating everything, not just Christmas time, but... I enjoy doing things in the house, so
yeah,
it's in my blood.
You're very good at it.
Thank you.
Tom from West Dallas threw in another funny lady on the text line at 844-967-2789. Fran Drescher.
Oh yeah,
Danny.
Yeah.
Lots of funny ladies.
Yeah, there are lots.
There are. I think we've debunked that, but it was more interesting of that article. I'll send it to you. It's just the history of any of these things, of how things develop. I can't remember what it was, but I even saw one the other day on a TikTok of how we got the term soccer, right? Like there's a story behind almost everything that we just assume is nothing. Just is. There's always something behind it.
Yeah.
And so you're heading back to Rapids?
I am. I'm gonna go north.
Got any plans for the weekend besides sitting watching with Dad the Marquette and Badger game?
I'll be decorating.
Oh, so is my house further along than your house
yours
right now?
Is far, far more along than mine is. I got lots to do. So I've done your treats. Now I'll go and get my business done.
All the Christmas, yep. The North Pole. We'll say that our house always looks like the North Pole. Not that Santa threw up on it. So nice
yeah,
way to put it.
Better. Yeah, yeah. Colleen, my favorite girl, and then she says that about me.
She said it. But, she said it as a compliment.
Yeah. No, I know it. Today is a big day.
Grandma's
birthday.
Carol Bry, 91.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, my grandmother, your mother-in-law, Dad's mom, 91 years old today, still kicking. Anyone who was at our wedding couldn't believe that she was 90, let alone now she's 91. So very happy birthday to her. Are you guys celebrating with her when you get back at all?
Well, I won't be back in time because I didn't think I was going, but they're going out for a fish fry, which, of course, you know, I can't
do. You can't do anyways.
So they're going to be going out to the restaurant of her choice and having fun.
All right.
I just spoke with her while I was waiting to come on. So
perfect. That's a good reminder for me to give her a call after this show.
That's a good idea.
All right. Well, Mom, thanks so much for closing out this week's show with me.
Sure thing,
you're
honey.
A big number one fan.
I
always
am.
Fun to have you on here.
Thank you.
And
it's always
us.
Fun to see you.
That'll do it for this week. We will be back on Monday. Everyone have a safe, fun, relaxing weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform,
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.